Blog Talk Radio.
Had to run off and go make me some hot chocolate real quick.
So happy International Women's Day to all our fellow gamers. Special shout out to our homie Scott Skillet. Yes, I reached way back to the 80s, 90s for that one. Quaisha Thornton, who sent us some love on Twitter. And
thank you.
And to our fellow women gamers that she sent love out to, who we also know, NPD Frazier. Hi, Kitty Chicks. Kitty Chicks is the one of the heads of Kitty Chicks is the one you heard me congratulate on her nuptials last week. So happy Women's Day to them. A Cosmos and Annaline, who we don't know yet, but we'll count you sisters in gaming. How y'all doing?
Yay! National Women's Day.
International, not just
international. International Women's Day.
That's right.
I'm not thinking, didn't we just have a National Women's Day not too long ago? But
This is international. There's some interesting things. If ladies, if you're not following them on Twitter, it is Woman's Day, at Woman's Day on Twitter. They've got a whole bunch of events going on around the country. There's petitions to be signed. There's work to be done, people.
Yay!
The latest thing they just posted was 5 things to know about Woman's Day. Go check that out.
Cool. Any of them interesting?
It's always interesting. It's women. It's women. I will tell you this much. This is the 101st time that the holiday has been celebrated. The first one was celebrated back in 1909 and was initiated by the Socialist Party of America as part of a general move towards greater socioeconomic, racial, and gender equality.
Woot!
Woot! And by 1911, of course, it was celebrated around the world. That's how we roll, women. It don't take us long.
Hell.
All right, and Google is also helping us celebrate. If you're wondering what that doodle is that they have up today, it's to celebrate. So in the article, you got some information about the founder of International Women's Day, Glenda Stone. You've got some stuff about Miss Hillary Clinton. So many things. Anyway, go check it out. It's one of the articles is up over at ibtimes.com. And just look up International Women's Day, and you should find all the cool things about women that you may or may not have known. Some of you guys do need some type of guide or primer because you're just clueless. sorry, guys. All right. So, and there's some other things there I'm not going to mention on air. I'll probably tell Ginger about after. Or we'll save it for the late night show because it has to do with undergarments.
Ooh.
you have to listen tonight for that. Also, make sure you're listening tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We do our weekly Thursday night show. We will have special guests from AbleGamers.com, Steven Spawn, who Ginger pronounced Spoon, and he's coming for Ginger tonight. He says he's coming.
My bad. Don't come in too much.
Hey, the grenade will be dropped. I'm just going to step in.
It's too pretty to be cut.
Sorry, darling. All right, so big news today.
Big news? What kind of big news?
Big news is the iPad grenade has dropped today. Yeah.
So there are people out standing in line to get one of these? Then?
Standing in line, missing work, calling in sick via Twitter, all willy-nilly. You know how you guys are. Don't be calling in sick via Twitter. I hate that. And probably your boss does, too. You may have a new iPad, but no job. But at least you'll be able to look for a job with your new iPad. So... Okay, so the price is officially out. The way that they're showing this, you know what? I didn't even tell them what they were listening to. This is Lunch with Ginger and Corey, by the way.
Yay! I am the sickly Ginger one.
Aw, and I am the overly caffeinated Corey. Pray for me. So, anyway, back to the iPad, because, you know where you are now, hopefully. The way they're talking about it is you can't Somebody's standing aside because almost what I keep seeing is pre-order, click to pre-order. So it looks like they're just announcing it today. You can't actually go pick one up. But it's a possibility that there's some out there floating around somewhere. We, of course, didn't get a copy. Apple is very selective in who they give the advanced copies to. I don't really have a beef with them as of yet. They at least answer us pretty promptly when we ask questions, so I can't really get angry with them. And we didn't actually ask for a preview copy this time, so I'm not going to be mad at you, Apple. We won't be mad at you. We didn't ask for one, so...
This time.
But next time...
Next time, all bets are off, bitches.
You know, for somebody who's sick, she's awfully spicy. All right.
Yeah, I get sick, and I either get incredibly lethargic or very, very, very...
Mean,
yeah.
We like you mean. You're cute. Oh, so, wow. This particular iPad is going to cost you around $499. They're showing off the new display. It's supposed to ultra-fast 4G LTE. All this cool stuff. It looks to be, you know, when you're looking at it on the Apple page, to not be so much metallic, but more white. They're highly polished, refined white. The reason I say this is if you... Where is my iPad anyway? Question. Around the outside, you know, it's usually black. Now it's actually white, and, you know, the center is the page. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. We don't have one in hand. We wanted to tell you about it. And to celebrate the release of the new iPad, which you can pre-order. Oh, also, the prices of the iPad 2 have dropped by $100 and so on and so forth. So that's down to $399 now. So if you wanted one, you could get one. And that should put you about middle of the road technology-wise, and you should be able to use it for another month before they come out with the iPad 8. No, I'm kidding. they are doing engraving with the iPads now.
Really, people?
Yes, and they will ship it to your door for free once you pay for that expensive engraving.
Wow.
You know what? I wish I could say I was surprised. It makes sense, actually. You know, another service offered. Maybe you want an iPad for everybody in the house. You need to be able to see who's whose and make it all special and personalized. Also, less chance of it getting stolen if it's engraved with your name or something like that. So you can do that now.
Less chance of you being able to resell it later to recoup some of the money?
That is true. So it's a toss-up. Are you worried about it getting stolen, or do you want your money?
Yeah. Wow.
I think personally they should engrave each one, but it should be a special key and that is eccentric to you.
Yes.
That
yes.
When you buy it, it's yours. If it does get stolen, if it ends up at the pawn shop people can check it via a database and say this.
Yes. That idea.
Thank you. Our people don't work well together, the pawn shops with the police, with the people. So that's why your stuff gets stolen.
Mm-hmm.
The police notify them to find your stuff. I found out my laptop that got stolen. They did find it. It did turn up at a pawn shop, but they never told me. And then somebody bought it, so it's God knows where now.
Wow, that would irritate me.
Irritate. It hurt. I had so much stuff on there, books I was working on and poetry and all this stuff. So now I usually print out a copy now and keep it in my file cabinet.
Yeah, well, irritate was a kinder word for what was going through my head, but yeah.
Anyway, we're all off the beat.
We are.
For your new iPad today, or your old one, we have... some keys to give away to Unstoppable Gorge.
Yay!
If you haven't read the review, make sure you check by GameAndAtrix.com to see Ginger's review. This is the iPad version. So, you people that, we were going to say first two people, but randomly, you must send a private message to either at Ginger, GINGIRR, or at Gamer Girls Radio. I said private, which means you need to be following us. If you're just listening and not following us on Twitter, you may not follow us. Send us a message. And we will give you one for your iPad at random. Now, not everybody's going to get one because we have a limited amount of keys, but we'll pick somebody at random. And I may be doing this all day.
Yay.
Maybe.
And by the way, this game was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You really do want it.
Damn straight. All right, so that's my big news. I have rambled enough. Ginger, take it away, Ginger.
All right. Oh, my God. Okay. You made me laugh. I coughed. Hold up. Oh, so congested. So. Since I'm on the rampage today, anyway, somebody's bound to get cut. I'm going to start with this one. GamePolitics.com this morning, family groups mount email campaign against BioWare for SWTOR same-sex relationships. I think I'm going to need to borrow that engraving machine so I can engrave stupid on people's foreheads. All right, so people for the Americans way... wait, People for the American Way is right-wing watch. A left-wing publication that assails religious and right-wing groups and individuals reports that Florida Family Association, a right-wing faith-based family advocacy group, okay, I don't care about who y'all are, and the Decency Association, oh my God, really, are calling on its members to assail BioWare for including gay and lesbian relationships in Star Wars The Old Republic. Oh, really, people? Do y'all not have better things to do?
Right?
All right, so they say no doubt these campaigners were spurred by Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, who's an idiot of the highest order, who in January publicly slammed the EA studio for exposing children to what he considered pro-gay propaganda. Yes, because you choose to be gay, you're not born that way, apparently, because no matter how much research we give you, you refuse to see. Anyway, so the Florida Family Association is calling on its members to send BioWare the following form. Subject to disappointing plans to add LGBT characters to Star Wars video games and censorship of opposing views points on SWTOR.com threads. Says, my family and I were disappointed to learn that BioWare and Electronic Arts plan to add LGBT content to Star Wars video games. That's good. Don't play them then, okay?
Right?
American families grew up with Star Wars film series that was family fair. The films contained no profanity, no nudity, and no sexual situations.
Really?
Except for the sexual tension between the brother and the sister. I mean, come on. We're going to be no LGBT, but it's perfectly fine to be inbred.
They are inbred. That's why they don't have a problem with
it. So they say it makes no sense that BioWare and Electronic Arts would shatter that family quality in Star Wars video games just to pacify 35 LGBT polling participants and appease extremists. I got something extreme for you. My foot in your ass.
Oh, Ginger.
Star Wars video games are for children. An overwhelming percentage of the 1.7 million games sold are being used by children who do not need to be exposed to this propaganda. Please stick to your policy to avoid such advocacy representations in your games. Please tell us that it's not too late to stop this from impacting our children. I look forward to sharing your response with family and friends. Thank you. Hey, I got a response for you. It's two fingers. You want to guess which one?
Ooh. You know, we're probably going to talk about this again later on tonight, but... And I'm going to mention this very same phrase again tonight. Well, Ginger doesn't watch TV. In the news, did you ever watch TV when you were younger? Do you remember that show with Kirk Cameron? And
yes. Oh, yes. I've been reading that.
So the key phrase here is he says it's not natural. Mr. Cameron, you need to do some scientific research. It's quite natural. There are several animals that engage in gay, lesbian
activity. Exactly.
It is quite natural. We are the only ones who try to project animals. Are like, let's do this. So you all, you know what? We'll get into this tonight. I do want to warn you. Tonight's show is going to be volatile. Those of you who are severe religious types, and but when I say severe, I mean you are dead set in you believe this is so, and there is no other way. I'm about to break it down tonight. If you're going to get offended, come on in and sit down. Call in. We can debate back and forth. But be aware that you're in our house when you come. You're in our house, so we run the show. But you're welcome to come in and sit down. We'll let you speak, but be respectful, or we will kick you off. Okay, so what are we talking about this tonight? I can't say everything I want to say. It's daytime, and we try to keep it clean because we know
you guys are... I apologize, folks. I know some of y'all are at work, but seriously, this irritates
me. To get it out. I understand. All right, we're going to move along because I'm irritated while you're reading that. Ooh, I can't stand it. let me be happy. Okay, that's the worst day. That's the worst day.
Swimming, just keep swimming.
And one more note to those people, if you don't like the game, don't play it. There you go.
True story.
Go
play it on my way.
But go play Left Behind. All right. Wargaming.net is recruiting SEA Gaming to bring the World of Tanks to Southeast Asia. That's right. Wargaming.net, who are calling themselves the award-winning online game developer and publisher, have teamed up with games publisher SEA Gaming so that they can bring their lovely game, World of Tanks, to Asia. Through the relationship, World of Tanks will be available on dedicated servers to players in Singapore, Malaysia, Philippines, and Thailand for the very first time ever. with headquarters in Singapore, Wargaming.net and SCA Gaming will coordinate the World of Tanks launch into multiple sub-markets in the region. Once the game is live, all SCA players will play on a Singapore-based server group, which will maximize in-game performance and high-level support services. Local gamers can expect numerous specials, unique events, convenient payment options, and complete game localizations. Mr. Victor Kisley, he sounds like he might be cute, but probably not. Says, we've always been looking forward to entering the Asian market, and we're about to accomplish that objective. We would like to thank our partners, SCA Gaming, for their help and assistance in establishing our new offices in Southeast Asia. Online gaming in Southeast Asia is expected to hit $1 billion by 2015, based on the sales generated from an estimated 100 million gamers, according to Asian video game market analyst firm Nyko Partners. SCA Gaming was founded in late 2011 specifically to help publishers and developers bring their online interactive entertainment products to players into this rapidly growing Southeast Asian market. World of Tanks is an ideal product for SCA players with its universal theme, PvP combat, and free-to-play revenue model. Easy, right? Right, Ginger? Right?
Oh, totally right. I'm so sorry. I was looking to see if I could find the median age of the people who played SWTOR.
Well, it should say T for teen, and then ASRB usually says they cannot rate, you know, whatever is online. It could change. We'll talk about that later. Ooh, stop pulling me back.
Well, they were doing a poll on the forum, so I was going through and looking at the ages: 33,
38, 16, 24,
28.
Grown ass men and women.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. So again, you could check out Wargaming. World of Tanks at Wargaming.net. They have officially launched. And players can go over and sign at worldoftanks-sea.com/for news and updates if you want to check it out. I know you're not in Asia. You might be saying, why would I want to look? You might want to play with some Asian people. They're quite fun.
They are.
I find playing with Asian and French people is always fun. And French mm-hmm. guys love to play with American girls. I don't know why. And they're always trying to flirt, but their English is terrible.
And on one hand, all right, I hate me some gold sellers. And I'm going to do it. On the other hand, if you ever happen to make friends with the gold seller, oh, they are the best friends, man.
Yes, that's right.
I know. It's awful. Bad.
We'd refrain from commenting further.
All right, here we go. So, Europe defies gravity with a new map, LEO. This is, Crossfire Europe. Oh. I can't read. I'm telling you, I'm so out of it. All right, so Crossfire Europe players now have a deathmatch map to master. The latest low Earth orbit LEO station map adds another level of intensity to SG Interactive's popular shooter by tweaking the gravity settings, allowing players to jump higher and stay in the air longer. In addition to embarking on the new map, players will now also have an extensive list of new items to choose from, including the one-handed dynamic reloading M37 stakeout and distinctive LPX character, whose bonus attribute sets it apart from others. This is hot, by the way. So the LEO station is a virtual environment connected to every information network in the world of Crossfire Europe, making it extremely powerful but also dangerous. The rival mercenary factions are battling for control of LEO, and squads of players from Global Risk and Blacklist must hack the system in an attempt to turn the tide in their ongoing war. All right, so they got a couple of events to celebrate it. Play to Win is one of the events. SG Interactive loves to reward its players with real prizes, starting today and ending on Thursday, April 5th. 10 weekly winners in the player versus player and player versus environment modes will receive ROCCAT, ROCCAT gaming gear, at the end of the event period. That's awesome. And the top player from each mode will take home a ROCCAT Gamerbook P501 Pro Laptop. Ooh, hot. That's very hot. I may have to go and kill me some people. All right, so, oh, she is munching on something. That sounds so good.
Oh, you know what? I thought I was muted.
LEO Station lifts off until Friday, March 23rd. SG Interactive will reward 100 randomly selected players with 10,000 rage points. Rage points.
Rage.
Yes. All players will also receive 20% extra experience points and game points during the event period. And no death record event for all servers from March 23rd to 27th and March 30th to April 3rd. Go free reign and hone your skills worry-free. No death records will be recorded during this period, and players will be able to maintain those impeccable kill-death ratios. Yay! All right, so you're wondering, all right, so what the hell is Crossfire? Crossfire Europe is a fast-paced, Europe, by the way, means us here in the U.S. can't play, but there is Crossfire North America, so you should check that out if you're here. Crossfire Europe is a fast-paced military combat shooter following the conflict between two competing mercenary forces, Global Risk and Blacklist. Players choose which side to join and fight across multiple gameplay modes, including Escape, Team Deathmatch, Elimination, Search and Destroy, Mutation, Ghost, Hero, and the recently introduced Biohazard mode. All right, so I have this up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Head over and check it out. There are some links, and I think if you go back and do a search for Crossfire over on GameMatrix.com, you will find different videos and other such press releases that are really awesome.
All right. So were you paying attention to Twitter last night?
I was not. I was sick as a dog.
Well, I was out and about, so I couldn't see what Jay had posted. But Jay and Horace, of course, and the 12 were having a conversation. Apparently, Jay was in Best Buy last night, which ironically is where I was in my own seat. He sent us a picture, and if you're following us on Twitter, you can take a look at it. It's the new game for the PS Vita called Touch My Katamari.
Oh, my God.
So you know the conversation that ensued after that. I'm not going to say anything else.
I got to go back and wow.
So, Jay, thanks for the picture. I just got to see it. I was trying to open it while I was in Best Buy. I was like, I can't see that. I don't know what he's sending. So I just got a chance to open. Hilarious.
Jay, you're kind of cute.
You said you told Jay he's kind of cute.
Yeah,
he's a good looking guy. Smells good too.
Smells good too.
From what I remember, he smells good. I like guys that smell good. He smells good. From what I remember, yeah, guys be clean. Women like smell. What is it they say we like the most smell of in the morning? Banana bread. Yeah, you smell it. You got some banana bread cologne. Work it.
Yes.
See, ginger says yes. Well, all right. Yeah. So you guys love you some Kid Icarus. You ready to bring it? You are. Well. And look, fans of Nintendo's Kid Icarus and who have a GameStop in their local area, go on down there on the 23rd of March, more specifically in Orlando, and probably the rest of them around the country will pick up as they go along, but specifically on the 23rd of March, Kid Icarus Uprising, which is available exclusively for the Nintendo 3DS system, they're going to be having an event, a nationwide tournament in which players can select in select markets. I'm sorry, it might not come to your city. You will have the opportunity to compete for a trip to New York, where three winners from each regional tournament will compete in the finals to be crowned the nationwide champion. This tournament will be open to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. And the Kid Icarus theme prizes will be given away while supplies last. It's going to be a bracket-style tournament, also including regional competitions at GameStop locations, the following locations: Los Angeles, March the 15th, New York City, March the 22nd. I have someone here. Did you talk to you, Nintendo? Really? Mm-hmm. So the tournament has already kicked off. It kicked off, looks like today, in San Francisco. So actually, those people are probably still sleeping. So you in San Francisco, if you're up early drinking your coffee, get dressed. Get down to your GameStop so you can play. The original Kid Icarus game for the NES apparently captured the imaginations of several of you. So it's now Kid Icarus Uprising. It's supposed to bring the action and adventure of this beloved series to new heights on the Nintendo 3DS system. The dark goddess Medusa and her underworld army have returned to bring destruction to the world. And the pit, the heroic angel, must fend... must fend off the invasion, jump into the intense air and ground combat with intuitive touchscreen controls, stunning 3D visuals, and fully voiced narration. Beyond the deep single-player mode, you can experience frenetic multiplayer modes with up to six players over a broadband internet connection or via a local wireless connection. For more information about Kid Icarus, you can visit kidicarus.nintendo.com/uprising. Again, Sunday, March the 11th is where it kicks off for you Orlando people. Open play is going to be 10:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tournament play is going to be 3 to 6 p.m. And the GameStop that it starts at in Orlando specifically is 8115 South John Young Parkway, Orlando, Florida, 32819. Yes, I gave you an address. We are national, international. We know all the addresses. I think that's pretty much it. Let us know if you're a winner. We'd love to follow you, especially if you're a woman. Let us know.
Yes, totally. I'm sorry. Kid Icarus is forever ruined for me. after watching Video Game Reunion.
Ooh. Bad stuff.
If you've not seen it, you have to watch it.
I don't know, man.
Yes.
I don't
want
bleedy eyes.
No. It's not like that. But it is definitely a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm squinting at you. You know what that means? Suspiciously.
Don't squint at me. don't you do it. Oh, my God. All right. I have to read this just because this is amusing. At least I'm going to try to read it. We'll see. There's an infographic over on GamePolitics.com, which you really should go see because, A, it's hilarious, and, B, it makes really good points. It's called How Patents Hinder Innovation. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has posted an infographic showing how patents hinder innovation, limit competition, and stop people from gaining access to knowledge and tools to further ideas. Of course, a great majority of the problems with patents have to do with patent trolls, companies that buy up patents for the sole purpose of conducting large-scale litigation against companies to make a quick buck. It doesn't help that the overwhelmed and underfunded U.S. Patent Office hands out questionable patents every day either. All right. So, all right, I got a cough. Hold on. I'm going to try to go to this. It says, want to bring a technology to society. Do you want a patent? Yes or no? No? Well, no patent for you. Yes? Do you have $20,000 for legal fees and years to spend in the process? No? Well, no patent for you. Awesome. Yes? Congratulations. You've got yourself a patent. Eek, an infringement letter from a patent troll. Got $100,000 to fight it? No? Will you pay a licensing fee even if it's exorbitant and your product doesn't infringe? Or you think the patent should be canceled? No? Are you willing to abandon the new idea and business? Yes, the patent system claims another victim. Wasn't it supposed to encourage innovation? All right, so it goes on, and it's hilarious. And you really should see it, because if you do have the $100,000, you know, you go, are you willing to face the possibility of more and more letters and lawsuits forever? No, enough is enough. Get the patent system out of the way of innovation. Yay! All
right. Get your patent out of my...
Yeah, so this is awesome. And like I said, it's over on GameBullets.com. EFF. We love the EFF. The EFF is the company who's helping all those poor souls that were caught up by the whole mega upload thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we love EFF. Mwah, 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 and gropes to y'all.
All right. Well, I was going to read one story, but I have to do this one first because it just popped up.
Yeah.
Google is apparently, man, I got the wrong field of work. I should have became a hacker. Okay, so Google is apparently going after some hackers and said, hey, check out this Chrome browser. Do it. Hack it.
Yeah.
Despite
Wow. I heard that they were offering
offering money. Yes, hang on. Despite Google asking hackers to publicly break into its Chrome browser for the past 4 years, it wasn't until yesterday that it finally happened, with the company dishing out thousands of dollars to the hacker who could crack Chrome at the CANSEC West Conference in VC, British Columbia, Vancouver. During Google's own podium competition, Russian university student Sergei Gluznov won $60,000 for hacking a PC running Chrome. Gluznov discovered a new exploit that only affects Chrome and went around its sandbox restriction that is supposed to prevent hackers from accessing an entire computer system. That's according to ZDNet. In a separate CANSEC West event called Pwns to Own, hosted by HP, researchers from the security firm VUPEN found a flaw in Chrome in the first 5 minutes of the competition, according to Pwns to Own's Twitter account. Google said it would offer up to $1 million in prizes for Chrome exploits found during its own Pwnium competition, but Gluznov appears to be the biggest winner so far. Google's purpose for hosting these hacking competitions is to help the company find out the biggest flaws in its Chrome patch. Patch those flaws and ultimately make the browser safer. All exploits found during the public competition have to be verified by Google and will no doubt be patched for Chrome. Wow. Fantastic. Good job, Sergey. You are awesome. Ginger, are you muted?
I was here. I was swallowing a big old gulp of hot chocolate.
Yeah, glad you explained what it was.
Does sound kind of bad, doesn't it?
Yes.
All right. So Dirt 3 Complete Edition races into stores tomorrow. Today, Codemasters... I lost the spot. Don't scroll. All right, so today, Codemasters premiered the launch gameplay video for Dirt 3 Complete Edition at Dirt 3 Completed uh, at Dirt3Game.com, sorry. All right, so Dirt 3 Complete Edition is a compendium of a box set featuring, featuring the multi-award-winning racer expanded with over 25 pounds, Frank Linden's, whatever the L sign is, and $25 worth of additional content. And that will speed into stores tomorrow, Friday, March 9th, with a SRP of $29.99. The new gameplay video showcases some of the extra content, including tracks, stages, and cars, including the classic Mini Cooper taking on rally stages in the iconic Monte Carlo region and multi-car rallycross racing in downtown Tokyo. Dirt 3 Complete Edition will see Dirt 3 GameSpot's Racing Game of the Year and rated 87 on Metacritic expand with 12 new routes across two locations, new cars, and a range of libraries, which you can get downloaded on PC to deliver the definitive version of the ultimate off-road racer. All right, so that's awesome. New racing game. Yay! Maybe Corey will stop about the whole GTA. I doubt that, though. All right, so she's out, so I'm going to grab another one. And why do I have Jay? That epic fail is awesome. Wait, no, that's not it. Oh, that's just Locker's epic fail. Anyways, I'm losing my head. So we got some concept video controllers taking haptic feedback to the next level. I'm pulling this from Digital Trends. Many game controllers feature haptic feedback in the form of vibration, or if you're using a steering wheel, some kind of force feedback to give the impression of weight and to provide a more complete sensory experience. At the University of Utah, engineers are developing what could be the next step in providing realistic feedback through game controllers, and this time it's embedded in the joystick itself. Now that could just be bad. All right, so think of a PlayStation or Xbox controller's analog sticks, and then imagine that inside is a small moving part, not unlike the thumb-controlled pointing stick found on various laptops. A movement of the stick, which is called tactors, then corresponds with on-screen action and can be felt through the thumb as it tugs in different directions. Oh, yes, I see this going bad very, very quickly with somebody using this technology for more adult purposes. All right, so anyways, for example, if you fire a gun, they twitch back and forth to mimic the weapon's recoil, or they sway to convey the movement of the sea if you're on a boat. The team has written a fishing game with which to test the system, and here the tactors help identify which way a hooked fish is pulling. While gaming is the obvious application for this type of haptic technology, it's also being linked to situations where tactile feedback could be used to complement audible alerts, such as indicating direction through a steering wheel, or when used in conjunction with GPS navigation instructions. Oh my God, I'm laughing. I'm sorry. All right, so one of the professors working on the project says he hopes to have the controller ready for the next generation of consoles, and he also mentions the possibility of making a version for smartphones too, not unlike the systems such as the iControl Pad. Of course, the success of this type of technology depends on there being plenty of games which support it. Oh, good God, China, stop making the sex games. I see this going bad, very, very bad, very quickly. Therefore, the controller will be making an appearance at this week's Game Developers Conference and in San Francisco. Awesome! So, if any of y'all have seen this, who are there and who are hearing this, let me know. Was this cool? Because that sounds pretty awesome to me. At least to me it does. Alright, so, I think Corey's still gone. Yay! GamePolitics.com this morning! This is going to be the Ginger Show. Yay! All right, so PSA, PCAST this Friday. The White House passed along an advisory that the next meeting of the President's Councils of Advisors on Science and Technology, PCAST, will take place on March 9th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's tomorrow. The meeting will run until 3 o'clock p.m. at the Root Room of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington, D.C. While the focus of this meeting is not necessarily exciting, it is interesting to see how policymakers, academics, and government officials approach science and technology. The primary topics to be discussed include science, technology, and innovation at the Department of Agriculture, China, and U.S. competitiveness, nanotechnology research and development. the future of the U.S. Science and Technology Research Enterprise, and Advancing Innovation in Drug Development and Evaluation. Wow, that was a mouthful, just to say. All right, so I can't believe I just said that. Key speakers include Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, President of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation Robert D. Atkinson, and Professor Emeritus, Department of Political Science at the University of Oregon. All right, so I'm curious exactly what they're going to talk about, but at the same time, I really don't care because it doesn't sound very fun. And we all know Ginger is all about fun. Oh, no, speaking of presidents, this is not good. Well, this is actually kind of hilarious if my page will load, so give me just a second. There we go. President George Washington. Did you know he's a bad guy?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Bioshock thinks he is.
That's what they said.
In a new video featuring Irrational's Ken Levine, the company reveals one of the bosses that players will face off against in Bioshock Infinite, America's first president. Oh, yes. It's George Washington. Do we get to beat him with an apple tree? That's what I want to know. All right, so players
cherry
will have...
cherry tree, woman.
Oh, cherry tree. Cherry tree, not an apple tree. Mm-hmm. Wrong, yeah. All right, so players will have to fight a Gatling gun-wielding robotic George Washington, dubbed a heavy hitter by Levine. The Washington Automaton is the creation of Columbia's ruling faction, the Founders, and was originally designed as a tour guide to show the highlights and greatness of the floating city. His job is to sell people on the vision of Columbia. The founders have this extremely grandiose vision of what their mission is, and the motorized patriot's job is to go around and sell that vision, at first at least. But when the Order of Columbia turns into chaos, the founders arm the motorized patriots and set them loose. Luckily, players will be able to hack these automatons and use them to their advantage, too. Levine says also the Vox Populi can hack them. Later on, you'll come across motorized patriots who are sort of dressed up in Vox Populi colors with different heads put on, representing one of their heroes, and they're working with Vox Populi, spouting their propaganda. He says there will be other heavy hitters, but who they will be remains to be unseen. Will eggs have to be turned into murder machines, too? Oh, my God. It's Killer Abe Lincoln. Anybody watch Futurama?
No. You know I don't do Futurama.
It's Murderous Abe Lincoln.
Okay.
He's always screwing things up, man.
Okay. Were you done? You just kind of stopped talking.
I'm done.
Stick a fork in her. She's done. Okay. So... New on the horizon, Break Media, who is calling themselves, and I like to say calling themselves, a leading creator and publisher of digital content for men, today announced a comprehensive redesign of its GameFront web property. The worldwide video game market is growing rapidly, predicted to reach $7 billion by 2015. The site redesign directly addresses gamers, a key strategic vertical within Break Media's male-centric audience. Drawing from well-known gaming experts, the company is revamping its original video and introducing top-quality editorial content to GameFront, enriching both the user and advertiser experience. GameFront's traffic has tripled over the last year, and its popular YouTube walkthroughs, real-time virtual HD gaming tutorials that have garnered the channel nearly 26.7 million views over the first year of its existence. Beginning with a comprehensive homepage update, this site-wide redesign places a greater emphasis on original videos and quality editorial content from top gaming experts like Jim Sterling, who will contribute regularly. Anyway, we're going to cut that short. You can go over and check that out if you're a guy at break.com. They do a whole bunch of other little guy-centric sites. There you go, including one called Chickpedia that I'm not that fond of. And we will probably bring up later on tonight.
Oh, no. I might have to go look. Fun stuff. All right.
But some of you guys like it, so there you go. We like to throw you guys a little bit of something every once in a while.
My brain is in the gutter today, Corey.
I see that.
I blame you.
What you blame me for? I didn't do it.
It's totally all your fault. I was all nice and innocent and sweet beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Ruined me.
I ruined you? I did not. Mm-hmm.
Totally. All right, so theme and lineup Creative Spirit Game Conference. Yay! All right, so the 8th edition of Festival Games, which will take place on the 19th and 20th of April 2012, will focus on the changing landscape of the games industry. Yay! All right, so the theme is Modern Business Fair. They say they will discuss not only the latest trends in the world of gaming, but also how these trends influence day-to-day business. All right, so they will discuss a social game and the possibility to play games anywhere and anytime on mobile phones and tablets. The games industry has come to a major turning point. Content and distribution networks are popping up everywhere. Competition on these networks is increasing, and protecting intellectual property is getting harder and harder. Some of y'all need to just stop, because y'all are protecting just pure crap, just saying. The presentations and panels of Festival of Games 8 will focus on the skills that are necessary to survive in the changing landscape. All right, so there's more information about the Festival of Games. Like I said, it's going to take place April 19th and 20th. Last year's event attracted over 2,000 visitors from over 470 companies and 25 countries. They say the Festival of Games is the most effective event for the games industry and combines a conference, the matchmaking event Pitch and Match, the biggest career fair for games in Europe, and a showcase. That's awesome. If you want information on how to sign up for this, maybe you're looking for a job, if you head over to GameAndMatrix.com, in just a couple of minutes, I'll have this up for you.
All right. Well,
yay. Jobs.
Let the mudslinging begin with game. Yeah. Paradox. Let me back it up. Paradox exec Frederick Wester told GI.biz that game has done this to themselves. He said that the troubled retailer game has only got itself to blame for its current woes, which have been seen the business fail to deliver boxed products to its consumers. He called it karma that the retailer is struggling to stock new releases in stores and is losing support from the game publishing community. Wester believes that the only way to save the business is to jettison underperforming territories and sell to U.S. rival GameStop. He said that's the backdoor they have. He told Game Industry International, game has basically been bullying people around, and now it comes back to bite them in the ass.
Yeah.
It's been abusing their situation in the U.K. for a long time, but it always came back to you. Look at EA and Nintendo. They're not even willing to help. They will take the hit just to get rid of game and start over. One of the biggest problems that they have, they haven't behaved nicely to other people, so it's karma, he added. Game is currently unable to stock major releases from Electronic Arts, including Mass Effect 3 and Tiger Woods 13, as well as titles from Nintendo, Namco Bandai, and Capcom. Wester believes that ultimately the game group is just one of many businesses that are failing to adapt to changes in the technology markets, pointing to digital stores from Sony and Microsoft as other examples that have been overtaken by new retail experiences. The problem is with the technology shift in this industry, they're so quick. Why didn't XBLA and PSN become like the App Store when they came out 4 years before? It's because they don't have the same openness to new content. They have multiple filters before you're in. For Wester, the App Store may be criticized for carrying too much content. It's crucial to give customer choice. No truly independent developer can make it through to XBLA. You can call yourself indie, but you need funding. You need technology support. At Paradox, we have problems getting onto XBLA with the money we have. On the App Store, you end up with a lot of crap, but you're not forced to buy it. The customer decides. Angry Birds never would have made it to XBLA. Minecraft never would have made it to XBLA. There's so many games that are million sellers that never made it to XBLA. Interesting, but true.
Very true.
Well, we'll see who's going to be hanging around and not hanging around pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
I heard bad things about game, but I was never sure.
I kind of figured with everything that was going down that there was something more to it. But because publishers, they start pulling their stuff from your stores and not allowing you to sell it. That makes me wonder.
Well, no, not recently. I heard things from our UK people. They're like, game is horrible, and, you know, I prefer GameStop, or I've heard those things before. But, you know, us not living there or having to interact with them doesn't.
Boys not allowed in the EU.
In the UK, you mean? You say in the EU? Oh, well, same thing. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So, Police Simulator. Police Simulator 2 allows you to assume the role of chief of police as you fight to stem the growing tide of crime in your city, deploy officers to trouble spots, and create new crime-fighting initiatives. As a publicly elected official, your career will rise and fall on the decisions you make and the feedback from the residents of your city. Will you invest your resources in placing speed cameras on roads, or will you see the threats of armed robbery, murder, and terrorism as your priority? Will you adopt the controversial approach of using surveillance cameras throughout your city, or will you rely on your beat officers, and undercover teams to gather criminal intelligence? Use your CSI lab to determine forensic evidence at the scene of crimes, followed up by infiltrating undercover officers deep into the heart of dangerous criminal organizations that are distributing drugs and operating smuggling rackets through your city. All right, so it looks like this is any other sim-type game, except that this time you are the police chief. I can totally see Corey doing this.
Uh-oh, what's that game again?
It's Police Simulator 2. I'm assuming it's for the PC. Yes, PC. Looks like it's only in Europe at the moment. It's $24.99. It releases March 23rd, so we still got a little bit. And, yeah, so that sounds kind of cool. Corey will probably be doing this, and her town is going to be totally cropped.
Well, if it's based in the UK, it's going to be a little difficult to play because it's going to be based on their rules and city and stuff. But, yeah, it sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. It'll be corrupt.
Well, there is more fighting.
Uh-oh, who's fighting now?
Stop with the fighting, people. More with Apple, of course.
Oh, boo, Apple.
Wait a minute, I lost my page. Okay, DOJ. The world's most valuable company, Apple, is being accused of conspiring with five major book publishers to raise the price of e-books, which could lead to a lawsuit from the U.S. Department of Justice.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah, the antitrust case deals with Apple's agency model of selling apps and e-books, in which the publisher sets its own prices for their products while giving Apple 30% of every sale. Yet Apple placed a stipulation on the book publishers that they cannot sell an e-book title for a lower cost than what is available through Apple iTunes Bookstore, according to the Wall Street Journal report that cites unnamed sources familiar with the matter. The outcome of the DOJ lawsuit threats could mean cheaper prices on e-books for consumers from the publishers involved. It could also mean lower revenues for publishers, which include Simon & Schuster, the Hackett Book Group, Penguin Group, Macmillan, GmbH, and HarperCollins Publishers. The DOJ has been investigating e-book pricing since last year. If the news is true, the antitrust law warning could mean that the DOJ was unable to reach an agreement with both Apple and the publishers on a solution. However, it's likely that all parties involved will reach a settlement because taking the case to court would be far more expensive and give the companies a dose of negative PR. So we will see what it is they're going to try to do. Ooh, Apple,
y'all are in trouble.
I was often wondering why sometimes it's difficult to shop around and get you a different price than the Apple iTunes store, so that explains it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what have we got? Oh, yay, we've got another track list.
Another track list.
Yeah, for We Sing Pop. Okay, Nordic Games unveiled the final songs to be added to the We Sing Pop track list, which is going to be available exclusive on the Wii starting March 23rd of 2012. Yay! All right, so in collaboration with Spotify, all 30 of these chart-topping hits can now be found exclusively on the We Sing Facebook page, which is facebook.com/WeSingGame. All right, so what do we have? Oh, we've got Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Oh, yes. That's hilarious. Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. Oh, Kelis's best chart-topping single to date, Milkshake. Oh, please, God, no. Don't Hold Your Breath by Nicole Scherzinger. When You Were Young by Nicole, by The Killers. When I Grow Up by The Pussycat Dolls. I'm Your Man by Wham. Yay!
Oh, really?
Wham. and Unorthodox is the final single to be added to the track list. Oh, wow. All right. So some of these actually sound like they're going to be fun. And now I'm going to have Girls Just Want to Have Fun going through my head all day today. So I'm very, very mad at you, Spotify and Nordic Games. How dare you? It's too early to have Cyndi Lauper going through my head.
Well, just don't get up and make your hair all pink and all that kind of business.
I just want to have fun.
See?
Yeah.
See? It's too late. You have ruined the ginger.
I hate y'all.
You hate them all?
Hate you all.
I wish bagels. You wish them bagels. All right.
No. I wish they were bagels.
Oh. All right. Oh, you know what? We completely forgot about Game Gadget. But we'll tell you all about it. Remember Game Gadget? The little cute little new handheld console?
Give me one? Yes.
I suppose we get one, but we need to get to them because I forgot all about it until just now. They've made their SDK available for download, plus development and hardware specs have been confirmed. Game Gadget apparently is supposed to be offering gamers, game developers, and game publishers unrivaled choice and flexibility in how they play, create, and sell games. Described as the iPod for games, Game Gadget is the first games console to be developed in the UK since the heyday of Spectrum and Amstrad over 20 years ago, two consoles I have never heard of, ironically. Some people out there probably are like, really? I've got like five in my closet. Well, so, the release of the SDK will allow professional and amateur developers the opportunity to create new content and import existing games for Game Gadget in a safe and secure development environment on the device itself. Once the game has been fully tested within the open source mode of the console, that is, developers are then free to submit their content to the Game Gadget for a download via the Game Gadget Marketplace. Pricing is set by the developer, and should they wish, content can even be given away for free. The creator of Game Gadget commented, after 2 years in development, we're very excited to see new content and licensed games being developed for Game Gadget. The Game Gadget application, the gaming equivalent of iTunes, allows for games to be downloaded directly onto the Game Gadget via a secure DRM system. Operating on a revenue share basis, developers of content receive revenue for every game that is downloaded. Well, that's nice. For more details, if you're a developer and you want to check out the SDK, you can go to gamegadget.net/developers, or you can check out the libraries. If you want to get the SDK, you will have to register at gamegadget.net. Again, let's run down some quick specs for you. This has a CPU core, 433 megahertz dual-core CPU. Internal RAM is 65 megabytes of RAM. Using the input is going to be a D-pad. It has two shoulder buttons, four face buttons, start, select, and reset buttons. Outputs are stereo speakers and headphone jack. The display is 3-inch LCD. Their screen resolution is 320 by 240 pixel resolution, and it's 16-bit color. It is rechargeable, so no batteries are needed. Does have additional storage via SD and SDHC, micro USB connectivity, and the dimensions are 140 by 75 by 16. Not bad.
Yay.
We do have
awesome.
Yeah, we do have a video you can check out on our little YouTube trailer channel for the Game Gadget early visualizations. If you want to check out what it looks like, that is still up on our site. Check it out.
Awesome. All right, so I can't wait to have my hands on that. That's gonna be so cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Unlock the secrets of RMS Titanic and change the course of history forever. This sounds cool. Secrets of the Titanic, 1912 through 2012, floats into stores on Nintendo DS and 3DS, packed to the gunnels with logic, problem-solving, and hidden object puzzles. Secrets of the Titanic, 1912 through 2012, is created by AvenQuest Software Publishing and will be available on the Nintendo 3DS, like I said, on the 13th of April to mark the 100th anniversary of the fateful maiden voyage. 3DS is going to be later this spring, so we got to wait just a little bit. The hidden object adventure game offers players the chance to travel back in time and board the RMS Titanic, searching for hundreds of hidden objects and complete challenging mini games and puzzles to test speed, accuracy, and judgment. I actually love anything to do with the Titanic, so I want this, except that I don't have a 3DS, so I may have to remedy that. The tense and exciting plot starts in the present and follows Eva as she experiences flashbacks and finds herself on board the Titanic with the power to change the course of history. Gamers can switch between two time periods, 1912 and 2012, and can choose to play relaxed or timed mode. By solving puzzles throughout the game, the mysteries behind the greatest maritime tragedy of all time are unlocked, and gamers can learn that being in control of the past has an impact on the future. As gamers scour the ship and learn about the past, they must uncover hundreds of objects hidden on board, ranging from passports and cigar boxes to brooches and hats. The objects, when found, are added to an inventory list displayed on the bottom screen and will come in use when faced with a puzzle or problem. All right, so you get to meet fellow passengers. You get to explore iconic locations. From the boiler room to the infamous first-class stairwell to the upper decks and lifeboats. The game is designed to test logic, also test your problem-solving and hidden object skills. There's also a number of mini-games which can be unlocked as you progress through the adventure. This sounds like fun, and I wish I could play it. Y'all should send me a 3DS and your game, and I will play it. Please. And at the same time, they say you can change the path. I'm wondering, does that mean that the Titanic will reach its destination? Because that's kind of wrong.
Well, it is a game. We shouldn't, Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
I'm still sad that somebody found it. That was like my childhood dream was to find the Titanic.
Oh, well, they found it a while ago, Ginger.
I know. I was like in third grade when it happened, too. I was so mad.
Oh.
No, you did it.
They had a general idea of where it was. I'm sorry, Ginger. You were not going to get that one.
So mean.
You would have to be born, you know, at least 10 to 15 years earlier.
I know.
I'm sorry, Ginger. I'm very sorry.
Oh, I'm so sad.
Don't be sad.
I was so sad.
Oh, it's okay, Ginger. It's okay.
I was sad. I was heartbroken. It's okay.
All right. There has been an update for you guys that are playing Scarlet Legacy. Danger and excitement will collide, they're saying in this latest update. Games Campus is the one that made Scarlet Legacy. You can go to gamecampus.com to check them out. Announced its latest update for popular MMO, fantasy MMO, or rather, Scarlet Legacy has launched. The new update increases the character level cap to 70, introduces two new maps to explore, two new practice towers, seven new dungeons, and a multitude of new skills, stances, items, equipment, and so much more. You can jump right into the action at scarletlegacy.com and join in the action today. The vast and incredible world of Scarlet Legacy gets even bigger with the release of an all-new update available now. The update introduces two new expansive maps, Ancient Forest and Lighting Ridge, along with two new practice towers for players to challenge. There's also a Flame Maze and a Thunder Maze. Players should be well prepared to explore this new content as the update also raises the level cap from 60 to 70, allowing players to progress their characters further and for a new level, several purple equipment. So much more. This update takes action-packed combat to a whole new level, they're saying, and with so many new areas for players to challenge and explore, there is something for everyone, said Chris Ahn, who's the business development specialist. The bar has just been raised for this addicting MMORPG. There's also in the update seven new dungeons, a lost island for those of you over level 65, Desperate Land for Hero at level 65, Secret Ancient Forest, a Thunder Tower, the Altar of Wind, and one new special dungeon feel. Additionally, players will find more than 100 new skills and 90 new martial arts stances, over 195 new items, 100 new crafting recipes, and a level 70 epic equipment stats. The Legacy Scarlet Legacy offers tactical combat with stylishly cinematic animation, plenty of character customization options, and numerous PvP modes and battlefields. There are four classes to choose from at the beginning, but each has access to multiple unique talent trees, bonus-granting martial arts combat stances, and evolving skills to allow far more personalized progression. Scarlet Legacy is a complete MMORPG with crafting profession skills, mounts, pet customization, and mutation systems, and dozens of in-world mini-games. So, again, you can check that out at gamecampus.com or at scarletlegacy.com. We got about 3 minutes, Ms. Jen. Do you think you can squeeze something in during that?
Maybe, very, very possibly. Let's see. No, because I think I just lost the story. There we go. Found it. All right. So, Aika Online releases final chapter in its epic 2 Saga Hestia. Yay! Two new level 80 raids complete with 3-part expansion. All right. So, if any of y'all are playing Aika Online, by the way, you shouldn't do a search on Google for Aika. Just Aika, that's bad. there are two new level 80 raids that await the best Aten warriors seeking to take back a now corrupted land full of formidable monsters and equally powerful items. Right, so yeah, I'm not going to make it through this whole thing, but Aika Online is an MMO. It's European, kind of Eastern. Anyways, it's a lot of fun. Head over there, check it out. GameAnatrix.com this morning. Go see it. Yay!
All right, guys. That'll do it for us until later tonight. Make sure you're listening. 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I hate that woman. Central Standard Time. I don't think they can hear her, just us. 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm sorry, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be live with our special guest, Stephen Spawn from AbleGamers.com.
Spawn.
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 Everybody know that face. Even with her head low, they still know that shape. When she come through the club, people take their place. Chick throwing hand cuts, cause they knowin' that they man ain't safe. Cause she the one switching up loud.
Later, boys and girls.